everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 142. That's the first death of Wolverine.
Really?
Is
yeah.
It? Really?
If you think about it, Days of Future Past Part 2, that has the cover having been blown apart by the Sentinel. First time Wolverine died.
Wow.
Days of Future Past Part 2.
Well, it was a two-issue. It was
the second two.
Back. It was a two. Back in those days, big events were two
it was
issues.
I thought you meant like Secret Wars 2 or something
No, just issue 2.
Okay.
We got blowed to bits by the Sentinel. He got bloated up real good.
That actually does taste different.
I'm sure everybody at home's thrilled to know that.
Thank you for derailing the conversation.
They
30
oh,
seconds.
Oh, they could.
Anyway.
They hear everything.
If you could level your podcast out.
I level it as high as I can. So, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Josh is hiding in Minnesota. Which I guess it's better to be there in October than, like, December.
He's enjoying another comic book store.
Yeah, well, actually, he tweeted that he's not so much enjoying another comic book store. So
really?
He said he appreciates this
store. You guys were talking about a comic book store, like, called Brain something last time?
Green Brain.
And yeah, there's one on your poster for when Tribe One was here.
Okay.
They're like a couple above you is Green Brain. But that's the one you said like your father went to?
No. My dad used to go to a place called Hennepin's Comics, but I don't know. It probably doesn't exist anymore. That was back in the 80s, early 80s. So.
What did your dad get?
Daredevils for me.
Oh, he didn't like get it for himself.
No.
He just went.
No, he'd sneak my, he'd sneak a look at my want list. You know, the issues I was missing, and he'd bring me back.
Well, that was nice of them.
It was very nice of them.
How come your kids aren't having these comic books?
I don't know. I need to. Well, because they're too much video games.
Just throw that stuff away.
Justin Bieber and
that's just not getting.
I know.
At least they're reading something.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if Justin Bieber had a comic book, then whatever. But that would be weird. Would you get that for the?
No, I would not. I would not.
Well, your dad didn't get any. Like, he didn't get any books, and like when. You don't know if he like read them beforehand.
No,
like, this is pretty good.
I
now
doubt
I'll give it to the kid.
I doubt.
He was a secret Daredevil fan.
There you go.
Giving away the ending before.
They probably thought he was for as much as he bought.
He was like, "Guess what, son? This happened."
But Dad, oh man!
I was gonna say like Elektra was killed, but that didn't happen at that time.
No.
Not much.
Well, no, Elektra was dead by then.
Not like huge stories then, though, right?
No.
Like,
just little...
like stuff that would be like the death of Elektra or
no.
Just your basic comic book stories, how they started.
Yep.
Those were the days.
Those were the days where you didn't have 9-part weekly events spinning out of other books with tie ins.
What decade was it? 70s?
80s. Early 80s.
I like those decades. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my favorite decades of comic books. Like, of actually reading. Because I think I like them because of that. Like, the stories are so, like, you can pick up
you're
one book.
Self-contained.
You can read that one book.
I buy an issue of Amazing Spider-Man with Stoltman on the cover, and I was so excited.
And then Punisher killed him off. And you're just like, oh, no, Stoltman.
Well, there'll never be another like you. Well, wait until someone gets your costume.
He came back.
Yeah.
He was using Doc Ock technology in the last one. I remember his, he was in like a Spider-Man book and his leg. No, he was in Daredevil. He was last in the Mark Waid's Daredevil where he was using Doc Ock's technology where now his legs and arms could stretch out. So, I mean, that's really helping the character, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Stoltman.
Genius.
Could be Pastepot Pete.
That's the trapster to you, sir.
he's Pastepot Pete forever.
Well, two bits of news I fear I should get to at the beginning. Previews orders are due tomorrow, so if there's anything in the previews catalog you saw you wanted, please let me know. You can call me here at the store, or Facebook me, or email me at colin@pittsburghcomics.com.
Hi, Ted.
Or come down and buy something.
Or come down and tell me in person, but just make sure you do it by Thursday night, otherwise... Well, comics and stuff, not that big a deal, but it's more the toys, the statues, T-shirts, things like that. It tends to be, even if I try to get them next week, I can't. So let me know by tomorrow. The other thing is Saturday we're having our Halloween party. It's a Halloween Comic Fest that Diamond puts on.
Ooh.
That they're trying to make like a second free comic book day. But so far it has not quite taken off to that extent. But we'll be doing our best. I have a bunch of books you can buy to give away to kids. I have books for kids if they come trick-or-treating, which makes no sense that they'd be trick-or-treating a week before Halloween. And then we're going to have a costume contest between 5 and 7. So wear your best costume, and there will be prizes. So that's business. So now we can write off this podcast.
And cookies, nice. And yeah. Cider, and candy.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Craziness. Right. And there'll also be a sale on any double points on anything, I guess, haunted horror. Or horror or scary or...
And who knows? Colin might dress up.
I might. I'm thinking about it.
The Justin Bieber comic would be scary.
It's coming up quick,
yes.
So he's a little...
Yes. Well, that's like somebody asked if Sixes would be considered horror. And I'm like, sure, I'll give you that.
You're gonna kill him.
It's just a terrible right. idea.
No, because you have basically a Cthulhu. It's sure. Onslaught has big Cthulhu arms coming out of his back, so.
And his head's a skull. I mean,
right. So I'll give you more on that.
All of Red Skull and Onslaught books are on sale as well, even if they're not Access.
Sure,
that's where you're gonna get
We can do that. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'm very hard to get along.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Like, no. Yes.
If I'm dressed up like Spider-Man.
Yes.
And then I get Spider-Man books.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of Halloween related because I'm dressed up as Spider-Man.
That's
horrible.
No, that's like on St. Patrick's Day when I said, you know, anything green, and somebody opened up a book and said, look, there's grass. I'm like, no.
That might be taking it a little too far.
I think one time, like the first party that you did, I think you gave, like, if a person dressed, you gave them some, like, discount.
Oh, that's true. I can come up with something
I think
like that.
You
yeah,
that.
We could do that, too. If you're dressed, I'll give you.
But
if you're,
not
if you're in costume and it's actual
if you're
costume,
dressed,
it's not
do you
a
have
t-shirt.
People come in here naked?
We don't really like to talk about that.
The nudist?
Yeah.
If they're nudist, and like, that's just their lifestyle. He can't, really.
I don't know where he got the money from. That scared me. but, yeah, if you're in an actual costume, I'll give you double points on everything.
Ooh.
Now, like, your Spider-Man hoodie, that's not a costume.
It has to be, like, have some effort of costume.
Yeah.
I'm coming as a serial killer. They look like everyone else.
I'll give you that one.
After his discussion last week about the baby coming out of Lori's stomach, now he's saying he's a serial killer. He's starting to scare me.
Didn't you ever see The Addams Family?
Yes.
That's what Wendy, Wednesday said.
Okay. She did say that. That's true. That doesn't excuse the
baby coming out of the stomach?
No.
Oh.
She said something.
No, that was the discussion about The Walking Dead, and I wanted to be a
I understand that, but then you said Wednesday said that. I'm like, really?
It was, actually, she movie. Might have said, well...
Was it the first movie?
Yeah, it was the first one.
Yeah. I think I do remember something like that. Still doesn't mean you're not crazy.
True.
No, the doctor
He's
said
like,
I'm okay.
I'm going to dress as a serial killer and tear babies out of stomachs. And I hate the Russians. That was the other... It's okay.
You ready to go, Dave? I'm ready to go. Yeah, let's get out of here.
That's the podcast.
That's a podcast.
That is a podcast. I'm scared.
Okay, so some news. Not so much news. Not big news, but I guess in the new previews was not leaked online, but announced online.
Mm-hmm.
And She-Hulk Ultimates and X-Factor are all being canceled. We knew about X-Factor through Peter David kind of making that announcement. And I have to say Ultimates and She-Hulk are not a surprise. New Warriors canceled? I think that might be done. But yeah, not a big surprise. Not good sellers. Pat and I were talking about it earlier, that She-Hulk really had a lot of possibilities because it was a lawyer book being written by a lawyer. But my problem with that one was strictly the art. I read was the first one. I did not care for the art at all. Story wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything that blew me away. And I never really stuck with it, and I think I only have one subscriber to that book.
Yeah, I think I only read the first two issues, and it was just like, nah, this isn't for me.
Oh.
Stupid.
Our listeners are like, breaking news.
No, it was breaking news, but yeah. Bears, Mark Trestman, confident team has put locker room friction behind them. Really? That's breaking news? Okay. Sorry.
That's some dimension to your drawing there. I want to see it in a cube shape.
Cube, okay.
I want more shapes. It's three dimensional.
Sure, I'll work on that.
We need some 3D glasses.
I'm not the graphic designer.
Anyway.
But yeah, so these books being canceled, not a big surprise to me at least.
The one thing though that I read online was the guy, and it was on CBR. He was talking about She-Hulk's numbers are very similar to, like, the numbers for Storm. And like, mm-hmm. he mentioned specifically three other Marvel books that are not being canceled.
Well, my only thought on that is this one is, I think, like, being canceled, like, around 12 or something. And maybe it's just two trades worth good, where Storm, I don't know what issue it's on.
Three.
But yeah, so you need to give it at least a trade's worth. But they also don't want to give up that quick.
What is it, Ultimates as well?
Yeah, all new Ultimates. But those story, they need to let the Ultimate Universe go away for a little while. Yeah. Because all they've done, literally since I've opened, is they ended it with Ultimatum, relaunched everything, mm-hmm. ended it again, relaunched it, and we just it's a cycle.
Yeah.
And the problem is, all it does is it every time they relaunch it, it sheds readers. It doesn't add anybody new.
Isn't that kind of their formula right now, anyways?
I mean, yeah,
it seems like Ultimates is doing the worst, but that's what they're kind of doing is Marvel now. And that's why I keep always saying, like, I don't think they know when to, like, call it quits on something, because, like, Ultimates, I would have, like, it seems like that should have been done a long time ago. Like, the only thing that was doing decent was maybe Ultimate Spider-Man, but I don't know how that well that's doing in your story.
It's gone down. Part of the problem is
Ultimate title?
Probably Spider-Man.
But they're bringing him into the 616 for Spider-Verse.
Well, yeah, who knows? I think the thing with Spider-Verse is it's so amorphous, you don't know what's going on. Is it really him? Is it not?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, too.
So
another one.
One of the problems they have is that they use these big incentives. I broke it down, not for you guys, but for myself, but S.H.I.E.L.D. number one is to have the party, because it's one of the two books that's coming out the week between Christmas and New Year's, and they want us to have a S.H.I.E.L.D. party.
Is that because they just have low expectations for the books, so they threw it in that week?
No, it used to be a skip week.
Right.
And we asked for a couple books that week.
Okay.
We really like the skip week, because it's nice to have a week of sales with no invoice.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do well that week. People are coming in, you know,
they
people are on vacation.
Money, they got, yeah.
So what they decided to do is each publisher gets one or two books to put out. And that way, you know, so it's a little more spotlighted. We actually get it the week before and just have to hold them.
Right.
Like the first year, I think it was like one of the Blackest Night books.
Okay.
Things like that, they make them a little special. So this time it's going to be the S.H.I.E.L.D. book. And so I was looking, and the incentive for it was 125% of, I think it was one of the original Sin issues. And at first I was like, oh, there's no way. And then I looked, I kind of ran the numbers, and it can actually work. And it's just kind of funny, the way they do it is, I was going to order 50, but I can actually end up ordering, I think I'm going to be getting like 75 for less than I would have paid for 50. And this is the way they win the sales charts. So, yeah, you know, that's nice and easy. So if a book would have sold 50,000 copies nationally, all of a sudden it's up to 75. You know, they're winning the day. They made less money, though. But all it does is show that they had higher sales.
And it just means you have something for the dollar boxes.
Right, because there's no way I'm going to sell that many. But at least now, and then I can get the variants. I can have the party. Yada, yada. You know, we can, you know, Coulson will come and make a visit. No.
Yeah, hang out for that.
But
can you get Simmons?
No, but I can get Fitz. How about that?
He's a little crazy. He's crazier than me.
Yeah.
The monkey? Oh, wait, that's not...
No, the monkey's in the comic. Ball. Yeah. It's not a real monkey.
Can you just get a monkey?
I can get a... Sure.
I'll
get
problem solved.
Absolutely.
Detective Champ.
So that's just one of the ways... And by doing that... And that's something they do pretty much with every number one. So they're getting inflated numbers on the sales... So, wow, you know, this book was selling 30,000 copies. We relaunched it, and all of a sudden it was selling 60,000 copies.
But
well, that's great, but it's not a real 60,000 number.
It then drops down, and you're selling 20,000 copies of number two.
Right. And it,
so
it goes down.
30,000 to 20,000.
But they don't look at that. All they care about is that number one. Was that number one in the top 10? Boom. Where's Rocket Raccoon selling right now?
I have no idea.
You haven't heard, but you heard all about number one being the best-selling book of the year. All that stuff.
Yeah, but that was also because they bought 100,000.
Doesn't matter, because they brag that won the month.
What does that get them?
Right, but nothing. It doesn't get them anything other than...
press.
What's the point?
It's press.
Yeah, but is the press getting them something?
It probably raises Disney stock a quarter of a point.
Well, not so much the stock, but it makes them, hey, you know, they can, when Disney says, hey, you know, this publishing branch isn't looking too good, or what are you guys doing? They can come and say, look, we had, you know, 5 of the top 10 books this month. We had, you know, things like that, where in reality, it doesn't matter.
We lost more money than we should have, but
investors aren't really that smart. I mean, not to look at it, because you looked at
Oh, you just got here today. Welcome to the United States.
Well, you also have things like there are, yeah, just, but yeah, that's all. It's just, you know, fake numbers. But that, I think that's why they do the relaunches of the number one so often, because they get that false bump on number one. So that's the only thing I can think of. Like, I was listening to a podcast today, and they were wondering why we didn't get a new number one on Superman when for Johns and Romita. Why we're not getting a new number one on Wonder Woman with Finch taking over. And it makes sense, because, and they said, they brought up the fact that we did get new number ones on Teen Titans and Suicide Squad. So it's...
But weren't they actually canceled first? They were gone for a couple months and then came
back.
No,
not really. I mean, they were gone at the end of Forever Evil. So they weren't, I don't think they missed a issue.
But isn't the bottom line what's the most important, though?
Right. Well, no, but it just, those kind of actually did warrant a new number one, because it was a complete change.
I mean, like your example of Rocket Raccoon. Number, they put a new number one on it, then they got them press or whatever. Mm-hmm. But even if they put the number one on it, did it sell enough?
Well, it was a number one. That was the first issue of that.
Okay, but what I'm saying is now number two comes along. And
You never hear about it.
I mean, is it, well, we don't necessarily know if it was selling good or not, I guess.
Right.
And if that's the case, wouldn't that be what matters the most, if the book is still selling? Right. Because in the long run, that's what's going to keep them in business.
Right, but that, I don't think that's what they care about. Well, why are they tying S.H.I.E.L.D. into Original Sin? It has nothing to do with that, but they want to try it. Even
everybody's got one.
Well, no, but for the order promotion, like for Axis, it was 200% of Original Sin 1 in order to get the special Scotty Young variants, the Deadpool variants, have the party and all that. And it's like, you know, you can't, you know, our problem is they keep pushing books that are tied to other event books. So it just keeps ramping up. You know, remember how big Amazing Spider-Man 1 was? Or even, let's say, go back to Rocket Raccoon, when they come out with this new Gamora book.
It'll be 200% of...
Order 200% of Rocket Raccoon, and you can get this variant.
I can't see... I mean, there's a market for Rocket Raccoon.
Right, but we'll know next week, and I'll be able to tell you what the... Well, let's see. Just for fun. It might be online already, because it's all out there.
Yeah, but I mean, the same market is not going to be there for a Gamora book.
But that Elektra was tied into, I think, 200% of Daredevil.
I can at least see where there
Black Widow was tied into 200% of Hawkeye.
Well, I think there should. I mean, I don't see a problem with there being a Gamora book.
No, it's not that there's a Gamora book, but I can't see it outselling a book that's targeted at a wider audience.
Like what?
Children.
Rocket Raccoon, yeah.
Oh, no. I don't... You think that the Rocket Raccoon book would sell easier than a book?
Than a Gamora
for
book?
For adults? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that. Because, I mean, if it is a children's book, the kids' books usually don't sell as well as the regular books. That's why Marvel really doesn't do it. Is because they don't sell that many copies of children's books. I see a Gamora book selling. I don't know. I can't really say for sure, but I can see it selling because of the movies. Because she was such a strong female lead that it might actually bring people more in for a female character that was used in the movies that was a strong female lead. And Marvel does need more strong female characters in their books.
That book's not going to be in the next previews. I thought they had announced it.
But wouldn't that have made more sense 4 months ago when the movie came out, and not after the movie is losing steam?
Yeah, I don't know. They seem kind of sporadic.
I think they're also pushing the female characters, any female characters.
And that's fine, but I mean, a Gamora book tying into the movie would have made a lot of sense.
I would have probably taken a Gamora book and brought it out before I would have brought out a Star-Lord book. Because I can consider the Guardians of the Galaxy book
a Star-Lord
book.
Yeah.
because he's the lead. But like Gamora should have probably got a book before that, and yeah, it should have been a little closer to. It should have been right after the movie. It
took
was
him a
released.
Year and a half to come out with the Shield book.
Yeah,
finally.
Book, I don't even think should. I don't know. I don't think it should exist.
Written by Mark Waid.
Yeah, but still. I just don't. I mean, if you're going to bring out a Shield book, bring out a Shield book of characters that the comic book people know, because I don't know how much this TV show is going to bring in character people to the comic book store to get
millions.
A Shield book. I just don't see it. But it, like, if I had more, because we don't have any. I mean, besides you seeing Shield once in a while, you don't have a good like secret agent type book out there anymore. Especially since Ed Brubaker stopped writing Captain America. That was kind of your Shield book, and that was kind of the last Shield book. But yeah, you don't got that anymore. So I don't know. I mean, I just think there's stuff that they have. It is hard for Marvel to make a strong female book because they don't have strong female characters. They have few, like, you have like Invisible Woman, but she works better in Fantastic Four. You know, if you have a separate book for that character, then I don't see it. I think that's the kind of way I see it with Black Widow. I mean, she's not one of my favorite Avengers, but I see her being better as like a backup character that is one of these characters that shows up in other books.
So you're saying women shouldn't have their own books?
No, no. I'm saying Black Widow is almost like Punisher to me, where I don't know, like, I like to see a Punisher book once in a while, but I don't like to see it ongoing, because I think you overuse the character more than it needs to be used.
I disagree with that, but just for a different reason.
I think Punisher should be a character that shows up and once in a while in Daredevil or Spider-Man, like he used to. He used to do that, and then he'd show up years ago. What they do is they'd have, like, a short ongoing that they do, and then it would be done for a little while, and so on. But, like, that's a character I see. Hulk. I don't like Hulk-only books. I mean, I think Hulk does better as on the Avengers, or he does something.
Short run.
You know. Yeah, I think just certain characters, you know.
Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, things like that.
The Inhumans. I mean, the Inhumans are the same way. Nobody wants an Inhumans book, you know. But, like, I mean, if you do it right, okay. Like, sometimes Hawkeye's a good example. Hawkeye sometimes does all right by himself. Not always. I mean, it was a rare thing that Matt Fraction was able to keep that going like he did and made a book that was kind of different for him.
Depends
and that,
on the creator
that,
and whether they have
And I think that depends on the point of view.
But I think sometimes they, like, I think Black Widow is probably the best example for this, because I don't think they just always keep bringing out a book. Like, it's almost like they just keep trying and trying and trying, but they keep doing the same thing, it feels like. Not necessarily do something different like they did with that. But then again, I think they kind of did that with She-Hulk. I mean, they kind of changed the dynamic of that book a little bit. They changed how the feel of it and everything, but and that didn't work. So, I mean, as you said, it all depends, really. But
it all depends. I liked the She-Hulk book in the 80s when John Byrne was doing it, because it was breaking the fourth wall, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, that was my problem. I just didn't care for the art on this
kind of deal,
DC's the same way. I mean, you can think of a lot of DC characters that like, sometimes they'll bring out that it's just like, well, why do we need a book on this one character or something? But right now, there's a lot of fairly decent ones. And DC has a lot of teams right now, too. Which I think a lot of people are kind of looking for this day and age is teams, not necessarily a lot of single books, because of the movies.
Oh, yeah. Why buy a Superman book where I can buy a Justice League book and get Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and the Flash?
Well, and you know, Superman's one of those examples that's a hard book to write right now, but I like him better in a team. I don't like him by himself, except for right now. I like his book, the book that they're doing.
Superman, I think, is a hard, in similar ways to the Hulk, he's a hard character to write because... Yeah.
He's
immune to everything. I mean, you got kryptonite, but other than that, how do you really hurt Superman?
Which you could take a character like Wonder Woman, who is also strong, but not equally as strong of a character, and make her interesting because she has weaknesses. And that's the biggest problem, I think, with everybody. I think everybody knows that. It's such so ingrained in
the A hero
Superman
is only as good as his villain.
Yeah.
And that's why Batman's the best character, because he has
the
best
only thing
villains.
That can take him out is kryptonite. And, you know, a few other things. The Red Sun will weaken him.
Yeah,
but
magic.
Once you use that once, you know, it's like he learned. He knows how to deal with certain things. So, you know, But, like, one book I'll talk about later, like, you know, I don't expect, like, Pandora was, I didn't think was a character that needed a book. But.
They never really.
It was odd how they did it. It was
Trinity of Sin, but they never had three characters.
Yeah, well, she's one of the two-thirds of the Trinity of Sin.
Well, it's funny, like, I think they kind of set themselves up for for failure on that one. Because when they started New 52, they made this character as if it was such an important piece of, like,
she was important at the beginning of the Trinity War.
She was such a mystery of everything. And then when they finally brought out Trinity War, it was such a little thing that I think people were just like, well, who cares about this?
Yeah, the question was in there for like two pages.
Yeah, and it just...
But none of that Trinity of Sin, none of those books came out at first wave. They were all... They came out around the time of Trinity War.
Yeah, it just...
Phantom Stranger. Not only took Phantom a long Stranger time, was around, but it the
wasn't,
other ones weren't.
She wasn't as interesting as I think they made her feel like she was going to be. And, you know, in her book, I didn't think her book was that good, to tell you the truth. And then Phantom Stranger, I thought they at least came out with a good story for him. You know, that he was the, you know, he was Judas. And you know, and all these things. So, I don't know. There's certain characters, like Dave was just saying, there's certain things that they just work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because of the creator. You know, and sometimes the creator's got a good idea. In Phantom Stranger's case, I think they had a good idea. They had an interesting take on Phantom Stranger. But, and then there's Pandora's case, which is just like, you know, not so much. So, I don't know. There's a lot of, that's what I've always said about, like, Marvel and, you know, even DC sometimes, there's just a lot of structure issues, I think. You know, a lot of issues where they haven't really thought out, like, how will this work? Not necessarily because they have to have it. You know, they look at it like, well, we have to have a female character. Who do we got? Well, Black Widow did okay. Well, let's give her a book. But why are you giving her a book? Mm-hmm. You don't ask that question. Why does Black Widow? And I think that's why when Black Widow book comes out, they don't know what the reason is for it. So why is everybody else going to have a reason?
You know what? That's something we've talked about before. And one of the things specifically was with the Ghost Rider book. No one was asking for that.
No. Yeah.
Why didn't you put him as part of another book? You know, forget about the female character aspect for a minute. Take a character, put him as part of a team because you want to use them. If there's a good response to that character, then you branch them out, you give them their own book.
Yeah.
If there's not, it's a team book, it's going to do okay, or it's not. But
well, especially in this day and age, out. Where you get instant reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like in the old day when you had to wait for letters to be written in and stuff.
Yeah.
Now you put somebody out there, you can fairly accurately judge. Yeah. There's a lot of shenanigans online, but...
Yeah. What?
But well, usually, I mean, there's no trolls online. The people can filter it out, figure out what's actually used. There's people that do this for a living. Spider-Woman, like, that was a character they were really trying to deal with. They had a female character, they had somebody different, but I think the problem with Spider-Woman is, though, that she seems like a sequel. Like, she seems like created because she's Spider-Woman, Spider-Man.
Well, she was interesting there for a while when she was an agent of Hydra, but then she wasn't. What was going on there? But right now, I'm like, she's getting her own book, and I'm kind of like, why? Where's she actually been? Because before she was in the New Avengers, you know,
she was in Avengers Assemble.
It's because of their mindset. It feels like, I can't say it for sure, Marvel feels like sometimes that they have a good idea, but when it turns out it's not a bad idea, they can't put it to rest. Like, you know, and that's why we keep saying, like, they keep revisiting Black Widow, and you keep getting, like, Black Widow books every time there is one. It's canceled, you wait a year, there'll be a new Black Widow book.
Well, it's also because they invested a lot, though, in making her a part of the MCU, and because of that, they're like, okay, well, we gotta have
but a book. But it's just, like, you can't just keep dwelling on that, because you're spending more money on a character and making these books that, you know, you're not selling this character, and you're not doing it. So, I mean, in a way, I think you're losing out just bringing it out sometimes than you are.
Well, it was funny. We just got some preview pages, and one of the criticisms of the cover—not the Monero one, but the regular one—was that he keeps like shortening her legs. So it's like her legs bent behind, but it looks like she's got a stump, just the way he drew her.
Kind of like.
But on every page, she's only has one leg is only a partial leg. It was really
maybe he's not
really
good at drawing legs.
Here, actually, pull it up. Instead of watching the Penguins beat the Flyers.
They're not beating them yet.
Not yet. You're correct.
They will.
After last night? Yeah, I know.
Flyers.
Keep talking. I'm looking.
Yeah. No,
you just upset at me with saying Flyers.
I'm sorry.
Too bad.
You said Penguins, though. That was good.
I think to Dave's point, the right writer.
Dave, you have all these points.
No,
today.
Dave. Yeah, Dave's on the
he's
roll.
So quiet, but he has like this one point. We keep going back to it.
But it's not just because of the female character. Any character.
Yeah.
If you got the right writer writing it, it's an interesting story.
Hawkeye, I think, is your best example.
Well, no, and you brought up the Punisher, where you said the Punisher doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis's run on Punisher Max was great.
Yeah, but
and I get that it was Max; it was different. Yeah, that's, but it was suited well to the character.
But yeah, the thing is, yeah, you can, but the thing, it won't work. Though it's hard to make it work in the regular Marvel U.
And
they were able to do something with Max, but even Max had its day; like it lasted.
Oh yeah,
it's very short. Like, for what it was. It started off really well.
The second
series
was only...
Right? Oh, no, he left.
No, he left, and I think it was Jason Aaron.
That's when it stopped. And then they started trying to bring out... This is when they have an idea, and it's working. They don't want to put it the rest when it's not working. And the best example was when they decided to do a book called Punisher Max, which was altogether Punisher Max. And it's just like, you're done. Like, start something new. Try something else. You know, this didn't work. You know, it ended. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it ran, I think, 66 issues or something like that, the original run. And
Garth Ennis's Punisher Max was a really good series. I mean, it was really twisted, though. Like, there was a lot of things in it that were just like, yeah, man. But, I mean, if you read The Boys, very similar types of things, you know. Maybe The Boys was actually a little more...
But that works for that character. If you find someone, be it a female character, a male character, whatever, that enjoys a character and they can write to a style that works with that character, it can be an interesting book.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that that's where She-Hulk was going to go because you have a lawyer writing a book about a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, he knows how to make this work. And Charles Soule, I've liked other books he's written, so I'm thinking, okay, this should work.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And it's just disappointing, not because it was a female character, but it was because if he can't make it work, it's going to be that much harder to get someone else to get it to work.
Now, in all fairness, the Marvel, like, Marvel doesn't had very many strong female characters anyway.
But I think that's the writer's fault, because the writer can...
I think it goes back a little bit to... I mean, DC... I think DC locked in the Wonder Woman being such a strong character.
Well, it was other than Wonder Woman.
And they built their universe around three characters, one being female. Marvel didn't, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, Stan Lee would...
Thor's female? What are you talking about?
Stan Lee would write characters that interest him, and he usually would make them male, because he was male,
right?
So it kind of worked, and that's what helped his writing. And that's what I'm saying. It's not like something that they could have done. It worked back then, and because you're marketing towards a male audience back then, so they create a bunch of characters, you know, that were male instead of female, and they didn't have any. You know, you did have some, but you had like the Wasp, you had Invisible Woman, you know, Black Widow. Didn't she start as a villain, anyways?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you didn't really have any characters like that, and then later on they start adding some. But then when they do add them, they add like She-Hulk, Spider-Woman. It's just like, well, they're just characters after the male.
Well, that was more to get the trademark for.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. It's just like, you know, now they have Ms. Marvel. Like, they have that. They've taken that character, turned it into something completely different. And I think that's a good idea. Now, I wasn't wanting my Spider-Man last week. But that's besides the point.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
Yeah,
you got Miss Marvel in my Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right. And it didn't need to be. It could have been later, but like they were in the middle of an event. That was my problem with that. You know, don't do that.
Yes and no. I mean,
kind of. They were in
Spider-Man,
the event,
yeah.
But still, it was.
They
not,
were in the event.
Like, where did she
involved
into this? Don't tell me it's Edge of Spider-Verse and they threw Miss Marvel and has nothing to do with anything to do with Spider-Verse. Except for the last. Backup story.
Yeah.
That was the Edge of Spider-Verse. It's just like, I paid for this. Give me the backup of Ms. Marvel when they give me the story. But, Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, it's difficult, I think. And they have to make a character people like. And if people aren't liking the character, they bring out a female character. Well, they tried, and that's all they can really do, you know. So, you know, it is. It's not as easy as, like, we think sometimes with it. But, you know, what can they do? I like Invisible Woman. I've always liked her as a character, but as I said, like, she fits.
She works
good
best as a team
in Fantastic Four, and without that, I couldn't see an Invisible Woman book. I want to see her.
She works
Fantastic
best
Four.
With the family.
Yeah,
yeah,
and she's one of the best characters in there because she's like, if you think about it, she's the leader of the group. If you really think about it, because
Reed,
like,
is so detached.
Reed, yeah, but she's the one who's finally gonna put. If she can,
I'm
put,
sorry, what's this group
Reed,
you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the book that they're getting rid of. With the strong female lead. Good job, Marvel. Now that is their fault right there.
They'll put her in the She-Vengers.
You know, She-Vengers. So.
You better trademark that.
Trademark something you don't know.
I own it now. I said it first.
Put that next to the monkey business.
Yeah.
We'll take care of Colin later. We'll send the serial killer after him.
So, just going along that lines, it was interesting. Bleeding Cool had something either yesterday or today about how the writers were, one, they were asked to wrap up their stories before the Band-Aid, that's what he's calling it, but when they have this short break between March and April when they're moving everybody out to California.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that came out today is they want good pitches for the books afterwards. They want more, I think I said, like, blue sky thinking, you know, bigger picture. So I think they want more stuff along the veins of Batgirl or Ms. Marvel, just something that's not just standard superhero stuff, which I think is great. You know, more get rid of Scott Lobdell and get in some people, you know, with some different ideas.
Get some more female writers.
Well, it's easier than said than done.
Well, I mean,
if
they don't exist, then yeah. But if you do, get some, then.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they did. They just added the Catwoman today. Was by a new female writer.
That Halloween cover was really nice.
I thought it was great.
That was amazing. I might actually get that.
And it's funny, I had somebody that didn't like it because it wasn't Monster. All the rest were Monster. And I'm like, I thought
that was
the best cover of the batch.
She had like the... She was
dumping the pumpkin.
Yeah. Okay.
Why? Why
if
it's a monster?
Well, because they were
Monster.
Because
they were Monster
covers. And it wasn't a Monster cover. I just thought it was...
That's kind of
a
nitpicky.
The art was really amazing.
That was a nitpicky thing.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of monster covers to choose from.
Yeah,
here's the one with Flash.
Yeah, Flash has a really great one where, yeah.
That one is terrifying. I didn't like the Batman Superman one with the werewolves.
Oh.
I wasn't fond of that. Actually, that was my favorite, if I really think back to all of them. Because, like, the Batman one was just, like, some sort of, like, bat monster that was standing at a window.
Yeah.
It wasn't that amazing.
Then the other... I don't know if you can call it news. I don't know what the hell Marvel's doing right now.
That's not news.
But I just mean with all these announcements.
Wouldn't it be funny if his phone did that breaking news sound and he was like, I don't know what the hell is going on with Marvel now.
But no, I just, they're making all these announcements. Infinity Gauntlet today was Old Man Logan. So, and everything says Summer 2015. And I posted this on the Facebook page and I didn't get reamed about it, which I thought was kind of interesting, being anti-Marvel. But I just said, what are they doing? Why are they promoting something for summer 2015? I wish they'd focus their marketing.
It's the Marvel Band-Aid.
Well, I wish they'd focus their marketing and their promotion on Axis and
what?
Spider-Verse. And you know the stuff that's actually going on instead of something that's, you know, 7 months away, 8 months away. That's just really getting ahead of yourself. And my other problem is that they're all very there's no explanation.
It's all been done.
Well, see, that's the problem. I'm hearing that a lot is, you know, people, you know, derogatory. Oh, House of Ideas, they're redoing everything they did before.
I understand. I can understand it. It's, we don't know what they're doing,
right.
And it could be anything.
But the reaction hasn't been positive. It hasn't been, oh, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this. No one said that. For the most part, it's like, what are they doing?
But they could have done, war is coming. Don't tell us what it means. War is coming. And then we can find out later it's a war between all these different worlds.
Right.
Hey, it's the same idea, but it's the way you market it.
Now,
it sounds more interesting.
I will say that they're really nice pictures. I really like their pictures.
Okay. We'll see what
they... Like, I like the Secret War. Was that...
Yeah, the Secret War was...
The Secret War was Alex Ross.
That was Alex Ross, I thought.
But it's like, is everything building in? You know, what's going
on?
But it's just so far ahead of time. That's my only problem. When we're... kind of built as a 2 months ahead of time industry.
Do you remember the solicits they used to do? Like, that were really, like, I always thought Marvel had a really powerful marketing. Like, remember they used to do the silhouette? Like, when they were getting into Avengers team and they did
right.
this.
It yeah.
was like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Yeah. And then when the book came out, I was like, this book sucks.
Yeah.
But I was really, like, Secret Avengers, two months earlier,
we're like, man, this book sucks.
Yeah. Well, when Secret Avengers came out and they had them, and, like, everybody I knew was, like, looking at this. And they were just like, you know, who's this guy? Everybody was talking. So it made conversation, which mission accomplished.
Right.
Guys. And then when Secret Wars Secret Adventures came out, like, I liked that book when it first came out with Ed Brubaker's. But you got to see it. It was like, is this War Machine? Is it Iron Man? Like, right. Who is it? You know?
So, oh, it was Venom with a gun on his shoulder. What? Yeah.
And then, the Secret Invasion solicit, which was like, mm-hmm. which didn't. Like, what really lead into
trust,
anything?
What was it? Trust no trust, one.
Yeah.
Sometimes the marketing is way better than the book.
One of the first books I got was Avengers 221 when I was a kid, and it said, you know, who will be the next Avenger?
Right.
Yeah,
like, it was that red cover with the boxes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's funny now because, like, everyone has been an Avenger since then, except for Rom or something.
Who will be the next? Yeah,
I think Rom.
Rom the space knight. Yeah.
They gotta wait till who owns that Mattel?
Somebody.
Yeah. That sounds right.
But yeah, it's just, I just feel like they're just, you know, there's so much confusion. I don't think they're having the effect that they want. At least in the store. And so far, from what I've seen online, it's been a lot of.
So far, it seems like an event that's going to be overwhelming because, like, to me, it has, like, every time you turn around,
it's
every event. Like, four things, but it's like every event coming up.
I think they want people to say, oh man, what's going to happen and be interested in this, but everyone's just getting
I have
confused.
A feeling. This is what my prediction of this book is.
Ooh.
I know. I have a feeling that, do you remember, all the things going on with time travel and Earths and stuff like that? Okay. I think it's going to be a multiverse story. And I think these are going to be multiverses that are part of events that we've seen. So, like, this is the Civil War. This is when Civil War is happening. Or this. Because we've already dealt with two things. Time.
Oh, is Hickman going to try to out Morrison Morrison?
I'd wonder.
With his own multiversity?
Because the main picture that we've seen is for Secret Wars. And it doesn't deal with anything but the events that are going on. It has the characters like Superior Iron Man and it has
Miles Morales
and all these characters. And then on one side, it's the classic characters. It's Captain America. It looks like Marvel 1985, which is kind of funny because Ghost Rider is involved in it
as
well.
Secret Wars.
So I feel like that's where they're going. They're like, maybe they heard everybody like, isn't time travel supposed to not exist or something? Aren't you breaking it? Or, you know, they're going back to that Age of Ultron story. They're like, what?
Maybe there'll be
a
crisis.
Crisis on multiple infinity.
No, it'll be an infinity. It'll be infinite.
Just say the Beyonder is back with his.
He is. There was a picture yesterday.
Oh, really?
Where the Beyonder's back. Yeah, really? Not with the Jerry curl and the and the pop collar, but yeah.
Oh man.
There was
If the Jerry, if he doesn't
come back
Jerry
to the
curl,
1-0 Pens game here. In a second.
Isn't he like the most powerful Marvel character?
Well, but then they showed he's just an Inhuman.
Oh. He's powerful though.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who can alter reality like he can, and create like little pocket.
So can what's his face?
Franklin Richards.
Yeah.
So can Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're pretty strong characters. I mean, he was able to take Galactus, which you always think Galactus is a pretty tough character.
Yeah.
And he put Galactus into that. That wasn't a horrible book. It just, it was obvious it was selling. You know, it was a selling tool. But it was, for like an 80s book, like the, it seemed like an 80s type of story, you know, kind of an event, so. You could see also the G.I. Joes in the same situation. That's what I mean. Like, you could sell it like a Hasbro idea.
Shoot, I know I just saw something.
Did you find that Spider-Woman picture?
No, and he didn't find a Beyonder. Beyonder, no Jerry Curl?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, Spider-Woman picture, sadly.
He'll post it to Facebook. Did you post it to Facebook?
What?
The picture that you're talking about with Beyonder.
No, I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, I was going to say, if you did.
I know, I saw it.
Just tell them to look at it there.
It popped up in my Facebook feeds.
Now, Secret Wars 2, that's not even worth it.
If it's not made to sell toys, we just don't want it.
Yeah. Marvel's never had very... Like, events are kind of a new thing for them, if you think about it. because their events before weren't. I mean, they had them, but they weren't.
Secret Wars was an event.
Secret Wars was an event, but it wasn't like one of these like. It
wasn't. But it was
that
also
great.
it was a 12 issue limited series.
Yeah.
That was separate as opposed to now where...
Which is exactly how they all should be.
Yeah. You know, if you get Civil War, there was Civil War, and that was 7 issues. Plus,
but it did
Spider-Man
tied
into it, and yeah.
Everything tied into it.
Before you knew it, you got like 55 issues of books.
And then when they're doing them this much, though, they have stopped so much doing that. They stay away from certain characters, but if they're an Avenger... It's an Avengers event.
I don't know.
Always Avengers event.
Look at it, Original Sin. Deadpool tied into it. Guardians of the Galaxy tied into it. Nova tied
into it. You're
right.
They did tie into it. I think, though, that they did a better job with Original Sin tie-ins because they at least created an original story and idea that it didn't really totally go into that. So, I don't
know. New Avengers 29.
Ooh. I thought the Beyonder was dead. I really thought he was.
Well, I thought the Jerry Curl look was dead.
There's the cover of New Avengers 29.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah, it looks like him. I know that guy. He's crazy. He always wears white. But can he change his look? I thought that wasn't his only look. I thought that was one of the things, too. He didn't have, like, a specific look. That's the look that he used, though. That is kind of what he looked like. And,
well, you could understand why he went with that look.
Yeah.
He ran out of Soul Glow.
It's Beyonder, played by Lionel Richie. I can see that. That would work.
Yeah.
That's good casting right there.
There you go.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Remember, Doom was a big part of that Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Doom wanted that power. Actually, he took Beyonder's power. That's what he did. Doom beat him. And Doom, he was like, he had a, like, I think he was calling himself, like, Super Doom or something like that. I don't know. I think he had a new name, but I love Dr. Doom. I think Dr. Doom's such a cool character. Just, he's, to me, he's the Marvel bad guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're making it like Red Skull is such a bad guy now. But it is, it's Doom. Doom's my favorite. Who's your favorite, Pat? Your favorite Marvel bad guy.
Paste Pot Pete.
Paste
that is nobody's favorite. Stop that.
But Jock the Leaper.
Stop that.
I know Colin knows his.
I don't know.
Jiminy Cricket.
What?
He's a Marvel character. He's a conscious.
Mufasa. No. Well, who's the other one?
The
who's
uncle?
The bad one? The uncle.
Scar.
Scar.
Yeah. Scar.
Okay, but that's all I have for news.
Dave will think about it.
Who wants to talk about
Doctor Doom? I thought he was the quintessential Marvel.
Yeah, he's kind of been underused. I liked him in the one new Avengers I read, the 8 month later one. He was good. I really liked him.
They were using him not that long ago. It's kind of a new thing that he's underused because they even had him on FF. Remember?
And before that, the last time I saw him, I think it was in FF or the Fantastic Four one where basically they showed he was brain damaged. And I'm like,
yeah, he was for a while.
I'm like, I don't want to read this.
He was like that. And then his son, who's
Kristoff,
yeah, he was like kind of doing the Doom thing. And then the Doom bots were running all
the
over
Doom
the place.
The Doom thing? Like, is it a dance?
I might say Magneto.
Do the Doom thing.
Magneto he is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Magneto.
I have a hard time sometimes with Magneto of putting him in a position if he's a villain or a good guy. Because I think he's, like, in the middle.
That's what means complicated, and that makes him interesting.
Like, if you could say that Punisher is a hero, which I don't, like... But I don't see him as a villain. I see him as an anti-hero. And I can feel the same way about Magneto sometimes. Because he has his agenda... But his agenda doesn't necessarily fit, like, you know.
Because, like, we watched Days of Future Past the other day. My son didn't see it when it was in the theater, so it was the first time he saw it.
Yeah.
And he said, this movie's really confusing. And, you know, trying to explain it to him and the whole dynamic between Charles.
Don't let Colin explain it to him.
Well, but the whole dynamic between
first
Charles
this stupid
and,
thing
and,
happens.
And,
don't they understand
Magneto. Yeah, what's so hard
just
about
ask
this?
Hermione already. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
You were obsessed with Hermione.
Hermione
you keep
has
bringing
an issue
that
with
up.
Time
you
travel.
Keep bringing that up every week. You are obsessed with her.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Have you seen Hermione lately?
Yeah, we're not.
No, Mr. Stalker.
I can't. She lives in another country. It's only so much you can stock.
Yeah, from across the pond.
From across the pond. That's what they say. Right? Yeah.
But
they're
you
like
know,
they. Yeah. We just lost all of our British listeners.
Way to go.
Oh wow. Just
we got rid of all of Europe.
Well, quickly, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah. But it, you know, the whole dynamic between Charles and Magneto, and it, he was a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
So his mindset is already: if we start down this path, I know where this is going to go because I've lived through it.
Well,
once.
His intentions are good.
Yeah. It's just ultimately the way he wants. It's very much the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X dynamic.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's, you know, and it's cliched, but that's probably the best dynamic to really think about.
I think that's why X-Men did so well, though, like that, because you had this, you had, it seemed so realistic with what was going on in the time period, the discrimination, that you had two characters that had two opposite extremes, because because discrimination isn't just that simple of an issue. You know, there are issues in between.
Yeah.
You know, and there's different ways they're going about it, and one way might be the right way, or one way, you know, there's no, it's a really hard thing. And I think that's why it did well. It was so relatable to that.
As opposed to
but
the current
run of
X-Men. But
it can relate to everybody because they were all just people, but they were mutants.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily a different skin color or a different, they could
that's
be
right.
anybody.
Yeah.
So Magneto, I think that's why it's so hard, because he's just, you're right, he's just like one of these characters that he's just, intentions are good, but he goes about it in a way that some people might not agree with.
The best kind of villains who they think they're doing.
That's why Marvel has such good.
They think they're
villains.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could empathize with them.
Yeah.
A little, at least.
Well, that's, you know, not just villains. I think Marvel has really decent characters, because they can do so much with them, and they have so many weaknesses because they're so human.
They're human. They're not gods on Earth.
They're just,
they're human.
You know, and I, you know, that's why they say Batman fits in so much with the Marvel universe sometimes. But it just, you know, characters that have issues and stuff like that. I mean, people have heard that before. You know, I'm sure Stan Lee's talked about it enough. But I think that's why they're so interesting of characters. Which is one thing, I love Marvel comics, so I can't say like a lot. The fact that I'm not reading that many Marvel comics does bother me, but I'm not, because I'm just not interested in these characters.
Just
because
I won't sell them to.
Yeah, that too. He throws them at me. He crumbles them up, throws them at me. I'm like, I'm not buying this.
But
he's
we
like,
even
fine.
Joked around about that when I first walked in. You gave me my stack, and I'm like, there's no Marvel in there. It was Deadpool and Spider-Man, and even there, I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be reading Spider-Man. It's getting on my nerves.
Well, the thing about it is that I'm not making that easy of a decision, because with Marvel, because I'm looking at it much just like, I wish this was better, but I'm not enjoying it.
Right, and that's
I'm
what
not
it is.
I'm doing it because, you know, I'm just like, I hate Marvel. I didn't just wake up one morning and was just like, let's screw over Marvel, you know?
No, you're sitting
by
there
taking away one more customer.
You have a Captain America t-shirt on. I have a Captain America and a Hulk t-shirt on with a Spider-Man jack. It's not that I dislike the characters.
I didn't really like the movies.
Yeah.
It's just
it's,
the comics
the
are
comics
not
are not where
me.
I want... Yeah.
But, what else do you got on the list? Are we talking about our books?
Yeah.
Okay. Which will lead me into our just discussion right now. That right now, because of all that, I've been actually trying to pick up a little more independent. Frankly, you know, it's funny because I hear Dave talking about certain books. Like, I think you talked about Witches last week.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. I picked it up right after you talked about it. And I really like that. That was a good book. And the art, who did the art on Witches?
Jacques.
It was Jacques, that's right. Really good, just an interesting story, and it just, I mean, I expect that out of Scott Snyder, because he just knocks everything out. It's just great. It makes me want to go back and read Iron Man Noir, because, like, I never read that, and that was one Scott Snyder thing that I, you know,
okay.
But anymore.
Well,
I'm
the nice thing is he's getting back to
his
horror roots, because that's where he started, was in horror.
Yeah, and it's just anything that I pick up with Scott Snyder's name on it, it's either, you know, different from what he was writing in Batman, or, you know, like I picked up American Vampire, and it's not like Witches. It's a totally different feel to it altogether.
He was writing The Dark Knight when it first started, pre-New 52.
And Jacques was the artist.
No, he was writing Detective.
Or he was reading Detective. Okay, I thought he was...
He started on a... it was Dark Mirror... and then
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. It was a story. The first one was a story about, like, he did two, like, arcs, I think, is what it was.
It was, no, they were going on at the same time.
Were they? Even the story with the brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was with Francesco.
But yeah, that it was a really good story. Like, I'd like to go back and reread the one dealing with the auctioneer. Wasn't that what they called it?
That was Black Mirror.
That was Black Mirror. Yeah.
And he was doing all this stuff. And the guy was a monster, it turned out, at the end. And then he just disappeared. And we never saw anything about that guy ever since. He fell off of the thing that he was flying away on.
It's like a blimp or something.
Yeah, and we just never saw too much of that. I always expected him to come back. But he might. Who knows? But and then the other story with James Jr. And it wasn't really even a Batman story. It was a Commissioner Gordon story.
Yeah.
And it was just a really good story. But
that's just proof that Gotham can work on its own if the right person writes it.
Yeah.
Because a Commissioner Gordon story can be very interesting if it's done right.
And he did. He did it. And he created a villain that, from a character that we haven't seen in a long time. It was a kid when we last saw him, a baby. So it's just, it was interesting. But Dave talked about witches last time, so I won't go too much into the description about it. But what I really liked about it, the art, for one, how different it was. And then the moments that were, like, the most terrifying weren't even dealing with the witches, like the part where she's being bullied. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're actually, I kind of felt for that character because I was looking at reading this. I'm just like, you know, it was pretty powerful. He didn't hold back anything while writing that. I mean, there were certain instances that were just like, this, you know, girl's crazy. You kind of thought about that. You were like, you kind of, in a way, feared for this girl's life. This, I forget the main character's name, the little redheaded girl.
Sailor.
I remember the bully's name was Annie because it engraved into me because I was just like, geez, this girl's terrifying.
She got engraved into a tree.
And then she just sucked into a tree, and it's terrifying, like Winnie the Pooh, but, you know, they didn't have anybody to push her on the other side.
Which Winnie the Pooh story is this?
When Winnie the Pooh gets stuck in the hole, in the gopher hole.
Pledge
it was Rabbit's hole, not a gopher hole.
Was it Rabbit lived in a house? Why do we have a hole? Rabbit. Gopher dug holes.
Anyway.
Well, he's a Disney character now, so it's Marvel. We can talk about it.
Witches is a Disney story?
Not witches, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, she got tore through that tree, the force through. And the beginning part with the mother and the tree and the kid just takes
me back on the second page.
And it was him who pledged her or something?
That was really creepy.
And the deer scene with the deer in the house and the deer's tongue just falls out of its mouth. I mean, just there were scenes in it. But one of the interesting parts, I really like it when the writer goes even further, where he gave us, like, this story at the end, which I'm reading. I'm just like, this didn't happen. But it was fun. It was just a little thing. You know, he gave us a little bit of an extra thing with him, and it was almost like his own little story that he was telling. So, and then he goes back. He took pictures and stuff, and just a little extra into the book, which
That's so true. That the creepiest thing was that witch was still there and it was waiting for him.
It showed up. And then it just disappeared.
It took years and years.
And that's what it did. He's doing a different take on witches. He's giving us, like, this different kind of feel. It's not your, like, you know, Wizard of Oz type witch.
Well, he's going for that primal evil, he says.
Yeah, he's going back a little older.
How these, in the witches, you know, with the hats and stuff, they're the followers of this.
Yeah. He's going into this Wiccan like stuff where they're forest people when they, you know, do stuff. It was just really good. Just a really decent read. And I've told a lot of people that were here, I'm like, you go and I walk over, well, like people I know, but I'm like, you're looking for something new. This is something that is really decent. So, and I've really liked American Vampire. He's done a great job on that, but I'm not caught up on that. Another book I picked up, which I read at the end of Outcast. You might have mentioned this. I don't know, because I know you read some of these books. Was Birthright? Did you read Birthright?
I didn't read Birthright. No.
They had a preview in the back of Outcast, and I was trying to catch up on some books, and I read Outcast, the last two issues, which both of those were really good. That book's really picked up, Outcast.
Yeah, but, the last issue was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. But they had a preview for Birthright at the end of it, and it's basically about this family, but it's their youngest son's birthday, And while the mother and the older brother are getting ready for a party, the father and the youngest son, whose birthday it is, they go to some field to play catch. And he's talking on the phone with the mother at the time, the father is. And the boy chases the ball into the woods. And he doesn't show back, so the father goes looking for him, and he just disappeared. And it goes on that, you know, they start showing you. I don't know the time span. They didn't really give you, like, this many years later or something. But they showed you that there were all sorts of issues happening. Like, the father was becoming depressed. The brother became kind of obsessed with finding him. That, you know, he started to get bullied because they were blaming. Later on in the news and the media and other people were starting to blame the father for something happening to the kid. And so the other kids were bullying him, saying, well, what are you looking for him for? You know, your father did it anyways and stuff like that. And finally, the FBI, who's been giving them issues on this anyways, thinking that he did do something, asked the whole family to come in. And it turns out in between this time that the mother and the father have separated because even she thinks that maybe he had something to do with the disappearance. But the FBI brings them all in to show him something. And they show him in an interrogation room behind glass. There's this large guy sitting in this interrogation room, and he's wearing kind of like your, you know, Lord of the Rings armor. You know, it's all, you know, medieval type stuff, and you know, he has long hair, looks kind of like a barbarian, and he's talking, and they're asking him questions about stuff, and they finally look at him. The father looks at him and says, "That's my son," and it turns out that he was taken to some dimension that we learn that it's kind of created in this boy's head, because this kid is all interested in stuff like Lord of the Rings and He-Man and all this type of thing, that he's into these mystical type stories, that he was kind of brought into one, and he's supposedly the chosen one in this dimension where he's at. And they introduce you to some of these characters after a while, because the boy tells his story of where he's been, and he says, you know, I've been at he says, you know, I'm this person, and I've, you know, been fighting this this evil, like, wizard-type character, sorcerer. I think his name was, I forget his name, started with an L. But he was fighting with him, and it was his job to destroy him and fight him. And then he could come back, finally. But it took that long. And what happens, it's kind of like if you remember how Narnia was and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, time moved differently.
Yeah.
In this case, he wasn't there for that long, but he was there for a long time in this dimension, so he aged quicker, and so the kid comes back, and I was just like, that's different. I mean, it really is. It's a different story. I think that's why I'm finding some of these independent stories so interesting, because I'm just like, well, this is new. Like, this is a different kind of feel. It's straight from the writer. You know, they don't have anything to really you know,
you can't compare it to anything else.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And I don't know, it was a fun read. And for a first issue, it kind of made me interested, because I was just like, well, we got kind of two stories here, if you think about it. We have a some sort of, like, mystical fantasy type story, and we have a realistic, you know, story.
Mm-hmm.
There were some spoilers in that. I'm not going to give anything away. What I gave away of the boy coming back and he's an adult was kind of already on the cover, and it was already on the previews.
Mm-hmm. Ruin it for everybody. Way to go.
Yeah, but the stuff the main thing I'm not giving away, because there was a thing at the end. That was kind of a surprise.
Horse?
That leads us further into the story.
Ostrich?
A horse is
a lion.
Horses could not go through
a wardrobe?
Monkey?
It could have been a griffin or something, because that's the only fantasy thing. But no, it was a fun, it had decent art, really cool cover, I thought. It had like a stained glass window, you see the boy, and then it's the adult version of him in the stained glass window. But no, it was really good, worth picking up, worth giving a shot. What did I say, Spider-Man sucked? That was last week.
Okay.
I think that's...
Yeah, because last...
Dave has, like, printed notes. I'm going to let Dave...
Real quick. Original Sin Annual was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I really liked it.
That was the guy, the original man on the wall.
Yeah,
well,
it's
not the original, but the one Nick Fury
And it was his story. I thought it was different. I thought it was kind of fun. It goes back in time, like, maybe
before...
a musket. Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe before or during World War II. And it even had space travel in it, where he was dealing with these aliens and stuff like that.
They muskets in World War II, so that seems...
He doesn't. He's making a joke.
Singing like Civil War. Okay, but Dave has detailed notes. So here
detailed we notes bum, on... Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum. Dave needs his own theme song. You work on that.
I will.
Talk to Adamora.
Not Davy Crockett, please.
Davy Crockett.
I got that too much when I was a kid.
That's his theme song. He's the only one with a musket.
Yeah, no muskets. Justice League 35 last week.
Yes. Timely.
Yeah. Prelude to the Mazo virus.
I was thinking prelude to the Ebola outbreak, but yeah, that works too.
Or either one. I guess we're not sure what it does yet, the Amazo virus. But
Lex already got in trouble.
But this is Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor officially have a partnership now, and he shows Bruce all throughout LexCorp.
Yeah. Yeah, unlimited access, but...
Unlimited access,
he didn't notice the big canister of gas.
Yeah. That was, you know, thinking about that... If you take, and I get that it's Lex Luthor, so you can't exactly take him on the level, but he did just kind of save the world. You got to give him a little slack, and he's like, all right, I want Cyborg and Aquaman, and all right, everybody has to be around the building.
I don't think you give him slack on this one. He infected the whole city of Metropolis. So.
Well, no, I know, but prior to that happening, I mean, you know, he was
what, you think Batman's going to give him slack? I don't know.
No one did, though.
Yeah, I wasn't either. He's a bad guy. Don't you know that?
No, I know that. So, he did just save the world, though. It almost seems like Captain Cold got more slack than Lex Luthor.
Captain Cold, he's a good guy.
He wasn't in that issue, was he?
Yeah, just for a little bit.
Yeah, it was
on stage with him.
Yeah,
I don't remember. But I like seeing the entire league work together. Uh-huh. For once, I thought that was a cool image with Aquaman perched on top of that tower or something.
Who was standing by Superman? Was that Wonder Woman?
Yes.
Okay, because I was thought for a while it just didn't feel like Wonder Woman. The art
he called her Diana.
Like that, but being that he was Clark, I thought maybe she was there too. It was Lois because I thought more of Lois than I thought.
Yeah. He called her Diana.
Yeah. Really nice art.
Yeah, it was both Doug Monkey and Ivan Reis.
Yeah.
Reese, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I apologize.
Joe's not here to fix that, so.
Okay, and I read Hulk number 7, despite some protestations before, of Hulk carrying his own book. But it was good.
That was me.
But it was good. He's still Doc Green.
Hulk sometimes can carry his own book. Okay, you're right
though. It's okay.
Sometimes.
That's okay. I'm enjoying it.
I just like him better on a team.
He's still trying to rid the world of the gamma irradiated heroes, and he has the first scene is him talking with Hulkling from Young Avengers.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And he has and he explains to him that has anything to do with Gamma because he's half Skrull.
Yeah, that's right.
And half something else. I can't remember. So he has like the no, he has the, so Doc Green has like the no, don't do drugs speech with him. Don't do Gamma, pretty much. to scare him away
this
from
this. Is
that.
Your Hulkling. This is your Hulkling on Gamma. Any questions?
Pretty much.
He's not part Kree, is he?
I don't. Maybe he is. I can't remember. You can consult the machine for that one.
Surrey.
Surrey.
What is Hulkling?
What is Hulkling?
I don't know what Hulkling is.
Siri.
What is a Hulkling?
Surrey.
So then he confronts. He goes to the Savage Land and confronts Scar.
Hmm.
And. Spoiler. He cures Scar.
How can he cure Scar?
I don't know. He turned into a human after he injected him with the antidote.
He's a Kree Skrull hybrid.
Okay. So. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Right, but I mean, that was in Scar's DNA that he's that. It's he wasn't messing with Gamma. He was Hulk,
he was born. He wasn't
whatever the woman from
was an alien.
Yeah, from Planet Hulk.
Maybe he's still infected with Gamma, even when born. But does that mean was he ever depowered? Can he not be Scar? Can he be something else? Can he transform into a human alien or whatever?
I mean, I've never seen him as a human.
They don't use that character as much as you think they would. Kind of like Wolverine's son.
Daken.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you already have Wolf. Well, I mean, I guess you already have the Hulk, so it's essentially you don't need two of the same character. But
you think Hulk's?
I don't know. I have to show you what he looks like because that's him.
So yeah, okay. I guess he can.
I guess you can be degammed, but.
Thought he was a little kid when he degammed.
But then...
Wouldn't think he would be that old.
Then they're in Paris, and then he meets a French girl who says bonjour to him, and
he's like,
he doesn't care about being
just
Scar.
He's like, bonjour, yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be Scar anymore. Take that game away years ago.
Scar smash.
Right.
So the last scene is Rick Jones... Rick Jones telling Betty Ross.
Yeah, because he got depowered.
Red She-Hulk about it. So she's all ready to rumble.
That's the character I don't know why exists. This is
Red She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. Yeah,
because they got Red Hulk. So
it's funny because her father is the Red Hulk.
Right. Yeah.
They had to make her Red She-Hulk as well. I thought she was dead.
Hello.
Yeah.
You find out that Doc Green, Hulk, is staying awake, is not sleeping, to make sure Bruce Banner can't
take over.
Because he starts falling asleep.
Jerry Duggan.
So I'm enjoying it. It's a good book. Last week's Daredevil, #9, was good.
He had the cover him walking off the building.
Yeah, with the purple children.
I didn't know that Purple Man had like a healing factor.
I did not know that either. But
that was news to me because I really didn't know.
Wait till you see Deathlok's healing factor.
I won't give away the end.
Is that how his nose got fixed?
Deathstroke.
Sorry.
Oh come on! This is. Is that picture right? Really, he's got a nose.
Let Dave talk.
He's talking.
But so the purple children steal a police car, and wreak havoc through San Francisco until Daredevil catches up with them, and he's kind of overcome by the purple children, and he's remembering all these horrible, God knows how many horrible things in his life that the purple children caused him to remember.
One thing that I noticed on that was they kind of like faded, like the purples, like it kind of disappeared for a second on one of them. Like sometimes they're not concentrated and it doesn't. I thought that's what happened, and maybe it was the text. The text would be purple.
Yeah, the text was purple. Yeah,
and then it would be black.
Oh, I
like
didn't
it
notice
would be
that.
Purple on like significant things that they wanted them to do, or something like that. I thought it was kind of neat.
Do they have to be near Purple Man in order to be Purple Children?
No.
Or
I think it was their DNA anyway.
Yeah, because you find out that I didn't think I meant in the previous issue he was
their father.
He fathered all these children.
I think
was like going to a. I didn't.
Did you read the first one?
No.
It must have been.
Maybe it was Josh. Josh might have been talking about that. So, like, what? He went to a sperm bank and was donating a bunch? And
I think.
Or he was doing it the old fashioned way?
I think he did it the old fashioned way, yeah.
It was Dave. Well, Dave, you mentioned about the boss when he got hit
by
the boss.
Yeah, so, but I won't like give away the ending, but yeah, he has Purple Man has a healing factor, which I didn't know about either.
That's the thing, yeah. I did not know about. It's like a slow healing factor, though. Like he
yeah, it was. It was. Like yeah, it looked like it was really slow.
That's
yeah.
like in the new Deathstroke. Deathstroke apparently has a healing factor too. But I
and then you have Foggy, who's wearing his fat.
Foggy's in his fat, a very unconvincing fat
and
suit.
And he's just, she's looking at it. McDuffie's looking at it, and she says. She's just like, you could have done something with the cheeks or something of your face because his face doesn't look fat.
Skinny yeah. face,
because
fat
he's
body.
Lost weight yeah. because of the cancer.
Yeah.
And he's wearing this fat suit with no thing, and then he's just, it just, it's funny how they drew it.
Yeah.
Because they even
yeah.
drew it to be very uncanny.
Yeah, yeah, it was funny.
It was, that's been a really good book. It really has.
And image book, Manifest Destiny. Number
I read the
11.
First trade. I'm behind though.
This issue was good. Manifest Destiny number 11. They're Lewis and Clark. This is the Lewis and Clark discovering America.
That's the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
And there's in all the monsters in the new land.
Yeah.
Because in this issue, their boat is stuck on a sand arch or something, and some of the guys are stranded, and there's a big frog monster in the river there, and they dangle a guy over.
No wonder why the French sold it to us. It's full of frog monsters.
That makes sense.
They dangle a guy over the water to try to get this frog monster, and I think the book has the best page turns in comics. One of the they show on the one page of the blood dripping into the water, and the second page it's this giant, turn the page, giant frog monster comes up to narrowly snap this guy so they could nail it with a harpoon.
That's what you gotta do.
Apparently so.
But it's a fun book. It's a good book. And that is everything.
Well, that's two podcaster approvals on that book. So that means we have to read it.
Yeah, so no, you'll never read it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. Sorry, I was looking at the invoice for next week, and I noticed that there's one thing where I'm paying full retail on a book that I ordered that was on sale. So just like, I better make a note to call about that one.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. You have notes. I have no notes.
Oh, okay. Batman Eternal. What I didn't like about that book was when they killed the kid.
Yes.
I just thought,
but
I get why they did it. No,
it.
And I get why they did it. You know, it certainly.
The fact that it was her dad that did it.
Uncle.
Her uncle.
Yeah, it was her uncle.
Who was about to sell her.
Right, but that was the thing. The uncle said, hey, I can't shoot because I can't see. And then whoever he was with was like, I can't shoot. All these gangsters, none of you
yeah.
guys can shoot, then how'd you get to be the boss? Because
it's a gang that can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
The one,
they're the A-team?
Get Barney Fife.
The guy Bone couldn't see, is that what it was?
Maybe that's what it was.
But
yeah, one couldn't see and the other one couldn't shoot.
I couldn't understand what the other one's problem was. Exactly.
He hadn't
he
shot a gun
to,
in years
yeah.
or something like
was
that.
Was he that bad? I mean, that she was like pretty far away from the other one.
Pistols aren't accurate. I mean, I get that, but still. I mean, that was kind of like messed up.
Yeah. But it makes sense to what you said, like why they did it for two characters. Mainly, Catwoman is going to change.
Yeah, more that. But you know, Croc, his whole thing. Well, you know,
I'm not sure. And you know what? I love what they're doing with Croc. Like,
I do too.
I like him as like a misunderstood character,
yeah.
than just a violent monster. Because Gotham City has tons of violent monsters. But, like, the character that is a monster, making him, like...
He's more sympathetic.
A little more sympathetic.
Yeah.
It kind of works, because then, you know, people look at him differently. Like, almost like mutants. They look at you differently, but, you know, he's really not horrible. He just has his own ways. No, Croc is really interested in this.
Yeah.
But now he's irritated.
Yeah, he's probably going to eat somebody's
he's
face.
He's angry.
He's mad.
He's going to eat somebody's face.
I assume that's what he did to that guy, because I wanted to know what happened. I wanted to see that guy be killed. And then they show nice. Us, and he's just like, and I was just like, what do you do, smack him or something? Like, I figured he'd bite his face off or something.
Croc smacked him.
Yeah, Croc smacked. Took off his Crocs he was wearing.
Batman and Robin.
That was good.
Batman goes to Apocalypse.
That was good. And everybody else comes too.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it,
and Robin,
but I thought there was a lot of just kind of blank pages in there without story. Mm-hmm. The art was fine. I mean, I wasn't disappointed with the art or anything like that, but I would have liked to see a little bit more happen. I get why they did it. I think Cyborg kind of fell for the trickery a little too easily, but...
Yeah, but his guard was down.
Right, but he should know. You know, Batman is Batman, and he trained these guys, so they're going to be like him.
I did love how...
the briefcase is...
hang on, I'll get you something.
Yeah. It's like, Alfred, who are you going up against? Yeah. No problem, got just the thing. Here you go.
They brought that up a lot in the New 52 about those cases, like... It shows up every once in a while.
I remember from back in Tower of Babel. But how... Does it go back before that?
No, I don't think. I think it's Tower of Babel, but I don't even think these are necessarily the Tower of Babel ones. I think this is kind of a new... kind of a reboot.
Yeah, we've seen these recently.
Or not. Yeah. I know we saw them.
Yeah, they used them in something.
Because he was showing it to somebody, and somebody he had no plan for.
Was it
Wonder Woman?
Oh, it was... They went... It was a Forever Evil. Remember they were using for Forever Evil, the Kryptonite stuff, and I forget why he needed it. Was it red Kryptonite? It wasn't green Kryptonite. It was red.
Well, because what's his face? Ultraman gets his power from the Kryptonite.
Yeah, but not red.
Right.
And that's what they used. It's kind of funny that they had, and it was like Batman synthesized it. He created red Kryptonite, I think is what they were leading. I forget. I can't remember now, but they did use it in the...
But that even goes back to what Lex Luthor was doing in Justice League when he talked about that. He's been trying all different kinds of kryptonite just to see what the effects were.
Right? Yeah.
So it makes sense Batman would be doing that too. But I liked it.
I love the suit.
Yeah, I they need a statue or a toy of that suit or something because that's pretty badass.
Me and Colin were talking about the how the suit was like... It, like, kind of melted off of him. Like, it came down a little bit.
Yeah, it was almost, like, alive or something.
Yeah, like, almost like the black Spidey suit.
Okay.
That was kind of cool. And it wasn't very big. I thought it was bigger. But it seemed like it fit him, like, perfectly. The wings were really cool in it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to see more of the Apocalypse characters. I'm hoping to see more.
I bet you will.
I guess Darkseid is, like, in hibernation or
something. Something, yeah.
Yeah, something's going on with that.
Is this the first time we've seen his son? I forget his son.
Kalibak,
in New 52?
Possibly.
Yeah, I don't think
we've seen a lot of Apocalypse characters. We haven't seen one that we haven't seen is...
Granny Goodness?
Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're going to see her pretty soon in Earth 2.
Has Desaad been around?
Huh?
Desaad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was he in... He was in Justice League.
He had a villain issue. Oh,
that's right. Too. Okay.
Yeah, he was in it. But the Furies are in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Furies are trained by Granny Goodness. So I feel like we'll see her. But we've seen a lot of the big characters. The big Earth 2 characters. Or the big...
Apocalypse. Yeah. Green Lantern New Guardians.
Which is a good segue into that.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I did that. But the New Guardians, which was part 4, I think, of the Godshead storyline.
Yeah.
Highfather goes and runs into Kyle. And he's the only one so far that just hasn't been a total dick about this.
Yeah, well, and he even mentions it in the book. He's just like, they have their ways, and maybe they're a little too aggressive in this. But he was just like, you need to just come
you need
with
to
me
do this by
we'll
choice.
This work. Yeah,
I'm not going to force you, but here's what we're going to do.
Yeah,
Which
he might fear him as well a little bit because he is considered basically him being considered the life equation. Which is, have they ever used that idea, the life equation?
I don't think so.
They've
know
used the anti-life
forever.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't remember with DC and the Dark Side.
Well, I think the other thing is, you saw how much power he wielded with the Seven Rings and how it screwed up and what it did. Well, yeah. Kyle can do it the right way, so, you know, Highfather kind of has to see that this is not, you know, just a regular ring slinger. This guy's pretty powerful.
It's interesting because you figure maybe that Kyle can fix the issue that he screwed up with, you know, turning that whole planet into, like, monsters. But it's too late now because he just ordered what's his one of his generals to kill them all because he executes them. And it's funny, they all looked like Larflees.
They look similar to, yeah.
Which I was like, is that his planet that he, you know, has been trying to find his people he's been lost from forever?
No, because somehow he's related to, what's his face? Nort.
Gonzo? Oh. He does look like a Muppet.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, art is very important for Larflees, the artist. Because sometimes the artist looks more like a dog or a horse. And I don't, like, I liked him, the original Larflees look. I don't know, something about him, I thought he was kind of just different. But yeah, he looks sometimes like a dog. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he looks like a donkey. Not necessarily a horse, but a donkey.
Okay.
Planet of donkeys. Greedy donkeys. But,
Yeehaw.
They had an interesting issue with, that might have been the Christmas one that they had, that special Christmas Larflees book, that he, they give you, like, an introduction into his family, like, how he found the Orange Lantern. That might have been the Orange Lantern book. Wasn't there an Orange Lantern?
There was a Larflees book, but I don't remember there being a Christmas issue.
Yeah, there was a Christmas special a couple years ago.
Okay, that's what I mean, but it wasn't part of the last run.
Well, you mean the New 52 run?
Yeah, it was
pretty okay. New 52. Dealing with the Larflees wanted Christmas Santa. Santa gave out presents.
The Larflees that stole Christmas?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. It was Jeff Johns did a whole story on Larflees, and he was so greedy that he was like, why is it Santa brought me anything? So he goes and sets it up to get Santa. Yeah, he was going to find him. And then
I got to find this book.
Hal has to talk to him and says, Santa's not real, and then he gets kind of angry.
What?
Santa's not real. Batman. Not Santa.
What? What'd you say?
Saint Nicholas. was that Beaker?
That's my shtick.
Yeah, that's Dave. Dave's like, let's step outside. Steal my bet.
Yep.
Beaker's like, steal my bet. Yeah, no, that exists. Mm. It also has like a recipe on it that's for like Orfley's cookies or something. Christmas cookies.
Oh, I gotta find this book.
Yeah. I'm sure Colin has it somewhere.
I'm going to have to go search and then go find it.
Please, Christmas special.
Spider-Man 2099.
Oh, I didn't read that.
So, Miguel from a different dimension is searching for the 616 Miguel, and he gets, basically, he's figured out how to track Moreland. And then he goes there.
Oh, yeah, to Edge of Spider-Verse.
Right. And Moreland is afraid of the 616 universe because he realizes that's where he was killed. Uh-huh. So, like, he starts, he kills the alternate universe, Miguel, and then kind of sees where he's at and then steps back into the portal and leaves.
Wait, Moreland is... Wait, I don't get that. He's afraid because he died there? Why is he alive? Do they explain that in the book?
No.
So he's kind of there still, but it can't be another dimension because there's only one dimension for them.
I think it's more he understands that that's the dimension or that's the plane where something bad's going to happen. Maybe he understands that, and I don't know. But well, it may be a situation where he knows maybe if I kill enough spider totems in alternate universes, yeah. I can go in there and take care of the problem.
He's been showing up a lot, and they don't really specify whether it's the future or the past. And, like, he was there. It was Moreloon who killed the monster Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
We don't know if he killed him, actually. We just know he ripped off his arm and maybe he fed off of him. But there's... Yeah, they don't really specify that, so mm-hmm. something interesting. Thanks for downloading Talk.
What the?
We're listening to R.E.M. Mm.
And then Edge of Spider-Verse, which was the SP/.
SP,
that was really weird.
That wasn't very good.
No,
and,
but Spider-Ham made an appearance.
Spider-Ham was cool. I don't really understand
who was the other
guy.
Who was the other?
Oh yeah, that's right. He showed up to get her. Who's the other one?
Yeah,
one in the leather jacket, I think.
Yeah,
was that the Wolverine Spider-Man? The one that was trained by Wolverine?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I
wondered that too, and
yeah,
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, I know who Spider-Ham is, but I don't know who that guy is.
They did a nice new poster. poster. It says all the Spider-Men that we need to know about.
The Spideyverse.
The Spideyverse, yeah.
But yeah, I really didn't like that one too much. That was the worst. Weird.
That was the worst for me.
It started off with noir and it was really good, and then each week kind of went.
Well, there was no point to the story because the story was like she's some sort of like. She's chosen by like a spider or something, and her father maybe Parker of that time.
It had to be her genetic code, or the suit wouldn't work.
And then there were scientists there named that were calling themselves Aunt May and Uncle Ben.
Yeah,
and it was just like, so it's like some sort of Spider-Man project or something. It was really weird. And then they wore like a mecha suit more than a Spider suit. And then there was a Daredevil.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just didn't get it. Like, the whole story, there was no story, and then it finally really quickly ends with, you need to come with us, and it was the other spider characters. Unlike the other books that have had, like, some type of story.
Yeah, it was their story, and then they show up.
Just like, or the character dies. You know, that's didn't happen. So, yeah, really weird. The issue was written by one of the members of My Chemical Romance.
Okay.
But the Spider-Ham was interesting because it's nice that they put him in it.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Spider-Ham was that short. I always thought they drew him, like, taller because this character was kind of almost Rocket Raccoon size.
Right, and you were dealing with a child to begin with, and that might have been why they sent Spider-Ham. Like, oh, look, it's a cute...
it's like pig.
It's a cute little piggy.
And then you send the one that has, like, we don't know yet who that was.
That would have been really messed up if that was the one that was the Wolverine train one.
That would have been.
If you don't come with me, I'll kill you, kitten.
Which is the one that I don't think they talked to about. Wait, was that the?
No, because he. What's his name? Otto talked to him.
Talked to him and the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. It was him, and I was complaining because I thought Noir would have been in there too because I thought he used guns, but.
And then New 52 Futures End. Superman, he comes back. Because it had something to do with Constantine, and in the end, Superman comes back, and he's beating the hell out of whatever it is he was supposed to take care of.
Yeah, the robot, which kills that guy.
Yeah.
That was kind of sad. I didn't like him, but... You know, he didn't deserve to have, like, that happen. Whatever happened. He just had, like, a bloody chest all of a sudden.
Yeah. But it was just...
Constantine's weird in this. Because he's more, like interested in aliens, which that wasn't really Constantine's shtick. It was more the mystical type stuff. I don't know. That character is the only one that I find kind of weird in that story.
Who knows what happens 5 years in the future?
Oh, sure. He might have watched The X-Files and was like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah. The truth is out there.
That's true.
So that's all I got, Colin.
Okay. I just have the two that you guys didn't talk about that I'm kind of shocked. You had Death of Wolverine 4.
What?
Wolverine died.
How'd he die?
He's dead.
He got the Han Solo treatment.
He got Han Solo, and there's no way he can ever come back.
Didn't we ruin that last week by saying he got a Han Solo? Oh, no, you said you didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
I was like,
right, but it was funny because I was in here when the books came in, and I saw that. And within 15 seconds, I'm like, okay, I can think of two ways to fix this.
Yeah. So
maybe Pat's the secret chopper.
He could be.
I no.
He was like, he showed him to me and he's got a report of that.
But I mean, it was fine. The art was good, but the story was kind of. So close your mouth. God, you're as bad as my kids.
I'm trying.
Chewing like a cow.
They're hard to chew.
No, they're not.
I bet you can do it if you try, though.
I might.
Okay.
I might try.
Sorry. Parent in me comes out. with my annoyance with children. No. It was fine, but just for the death of a major character, it was like, because he was saving three unnamed test subjects, and he sacrificed himself by, instead of just cutting the hose so that the adamantium didn't get infused into them, he broke the container so that it poured all over him. It's like... It just was really what?
Why didn't he get like a container or something to put it in?
Well, and so basically the liquid adamantium poured all over him, and then as it cooled, he got trapped inside. But it's like, okay, and they also showed that he's injected these guys with healing factor. So is there any chance he could have injected himself with it too? And so he's actually in there healing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just...
Well,
I'm just saying it was quite unsatisfactory how it ended. You know, it just...
What did you want?
It's not...
I don't know. I wanted one of his big enemies to finally take him down or something.
Well, that's happened.
But just, it just,
well,
yeah.
But decapitation and then melting the adamantium down or something like, okay, there's no way he's coming back from this.
It was one of his original enemies, though.
It was the guy who created him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so that's neat that it went all the way back, but it just, yeah, it just, I mean, when you can see the way out right there.
Yeah, so I haven't read any of it, but I'm like, okay, I can think of two characters right now.
Well, that's the thing. The three issues leading up to that was basically just a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Visiting all these other characters. All you needed was that issue.
But Kitty Pryde was one of the ones that was in that, and it's like, okay, she can fix this.
Can't she just phase him out of it?
That was one, and I said Nightcrawler could bamp in and out.
Magneto could probably do something.
Yeah, Magneto might be
able to. Nightcrawler can't. He could get stuck. That would kill him.
Okay. Maybe.
But
Kitty
Pryde's
the best option.
Yeah, but
Magneto's a pretty good option, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways.
Well, Marvel has the Star Wars license now, so I guess they're just going to take him to Jabba the Hutt. And...
Princess Leia's going to come and thaw him out.
Boosh is going to...
He's going to set him right next to Han Solo.
So, yeah, it was just a little... Yeah. And then the other one...
That sounds like you liked that.
It was fine. It just... I wanted something a little more. You kind of got to the end, and you were kind of like, that's it?
Aww. Now you're going to talk about Axis, aren't you?
Now I'm going to talk about Axis.
Sixes.
And I can't believe none of you have talked about Sixes.
Because none of
the
us
the greatest
Sixes.
Event in the history of Marvel Comics.
Marvel is.
They have success. Success.
I thought you said sexist.
It's not sexist. But I did have... It was very funny. I had a customer Tuesday because... It was on the, well, it still is on the front counter. And he's like, so what's this Sixes thing about? And I'm like.
He even said it?
Yeah. Without,
is he a podcast listener?
No, okay. I doubt it. So I just thought that was very funny. I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one.
Did you like, I knew it. Is that what you, he was like, oh my God, he threw his Buxer fan out.
But not bad, but I think there was a whole lot of it spinning out of Uncanny Avengers that I haven't read. So it doesn't really have a whole lot of weight. Basically, they're fighting Red Skull, who's been turned into Red Onslaught, which is basically Red Cthulhu.
Oh.
So, and part of my problem is Onslaught was really stupid and bad
and back
in the day.
Really awesome.
But he's got these huge tentacles coming off his back that he hasn't even used yet. They're just kind of there. And so basically the whole first issue was them fighting him. And then at the end, he shows he has these huge sentinels that Tony Stark had thought of but never made. But because now he has Professor X's mind, he knows everything Iron Man ever thought of.
Why is he making sentinels?
Because Iron Man... Well, he wasn't. He just thought of a way to do sentinels. And because it goes back to the Civil War stuff, he knows... Like, he basically did the Batman thing. And so they're programmed with ways to defeat every superhero.
Okay.
So the heroes take a real beating. And so I just read a little bit of number three, but basically Magneto is returned with all these villains because they'll be able to deal with the Sentinels because they're not programmed to take on the villains. And I'm just like, okay, so basically this issue, I haven't read three yet, but my assumption is that it's going to be all a fight. And so it's going to be like three issues have been this fight against Red
Skull. Red Onslaught.
Yeah, and I'm
Cthulhu,
just like, okay.
Skull guy.
The art's okay. There's many pages where you can tell it's rushed. But I think the next issue, I'm not sure about this one, but I know there's an artist change coming up, which is kind of par for the course.
What about,
is there more out of place dialogue?
Number two had some weird, uncomfortable dialogue. This one has witty banter between Hobgoblin and Carnage.
Now you said that, the characters, like they had the villains going up against them because they don't like... They don't know how to take them.
Well, they were programmed to take on
what about, like,
heroes.
Right, but it's programmed to take out... Well, I don't know if it's programmed to take out Iron Man, but it did...
Would Iron Man create a contingency plan to destroy himself?
I don't know.
But it could also then destroy War Machine, so that would make sense.
But, yeah. So it just didn't go well for the heroes, and then Magneto showed up. So
it seems like something that, like... you figure would just,
but it's just
like Terminator or something.
It's another
like
one of these
Ultron
big,
would do that or something.
One of these big fights against the unbeatable foe that they're going to find a way to beat. I mean, that's what most events are, but
it seems like they have, because that seems like the idea of what this
well, you know, 8 months later,
like,
he's,
guys are becoming
right,
good
he's
guys
not there.
And, you know, Carnage going after. That doesn't seem like Carnage would even care about something.
Yeah,
like
who knows?
He just likes killing things. Maybe he figured, you know, that's
robots.
Red on slots, like, hey, go kill some things. Okay, let him off the chain.
Seems like an Ultron thing. Like Ultron would copy the identities, that he'd take over Sentinels.
They just did Ultron.
Yeah, but that's not like a
that he didn't show up in.
Right. Well, he's in the last issue.
Yeah. So was Angela.
Son of a. Okay. So.
Just, no, that was Infinity.
Yeah.
Before, they all run together anymore.
They do.
Before we wrap up, I had one funny thing just happened right before the podcast was. The other day going home, I was probably listening to something, and maybe they were talking about like some old book they loved or something. And it got me thinking about Team America, which was a book that I remember reading long ago, and actually looking at the date, I was 15 when it came out. It was these three guys on a motorcycle team, and it was designed to sell toys. It was all it was. But I remember it was really liking it, just a little 12-issue series. I'm like, man, I can't believe that's something that's never come in, because I sold my copies long ago. And I'm like, you know, I'd really love to read that. That's never going to be collected as a trade or anything. And then, lo and behold, a box of crap came in today, and in it was 10 of the 12 issues of Team America, which is fun. One of the things that's funny is it's missing the last issue, which I remember hating the ending of it. So I don't have to relive that one, but it was just one of those really weird. It's like, I need to think more.
But now your collection's not complete.
But now I just have to hunt down 5 and 12, but it was just kind of funny. It's like, I need to start thinking about better books. You know, oh boy, I really love to get my hands on an Amazing Fantasy 15. Maybe it'll walk in the door.
Yeah, but the problem is you're going to have the cash to...
Yeah, we'll see.
I have all 12 issues at home, Colin. I don't know.
Of Team America? Yeah. Oh! I mean, I had them.
Sure
I just remember
hating
the ending.
You got them in the dollar boxes in there, Colin.
Yeah, I remember hating the ending because it revealed who the Black Rider was.
Well, Black Rider, that was his... I mean,
yeah.
Was that his name?
Or I don't remember. Or maybe the Marauder. Oh, he's the Marauder.
Right, right.
Yes.
I couldn't remember.
But yeah, I just I remember
he
really
was like this,
enjoying
this,
that.
The Snake Eyes character.
Yes, exactly.
It was Blade.
It was not.
It was not Blade.
Careful, man.
I don't know. It's always, if it was Blade and Mighty Avengers, Spider-Man.
I just thought that was funny. Just the timing of that was very funny.
And look at the graphics on that video.
Oh, yeah. The back, the ads on the back of the best. Oh, yeah. Look at that. From the old Atari 2600.
Yeah, that's what this is for, too.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All kinds
you're
of 80s goodness.
Talk about on the podcast next week.
Maybe. Because I still have all the data entry to do for the order for tomorrow. So we're doing that until the wee hours
Mobile
tonight.
Strike Force team.
So yeah, just a reminder, previews order due tomorrow.
So what's the books next week?
The books next week are, you know, some of the best stuff I've ever, I couldn't hope for anything more.
Ooh.
Axis Carnage, number one. Maybe we'll find out why he wanted to fight.
Why he cares?
Axis Revolutions.
Ooh.
Yes.
He's trying to be enthusiastic.
Thank you. Beast Commandos. I'm not sure what that is, but what a
it's
great name.
Beast Commandos.
Beast and their command. Is
exactly.
It Beast from the X-Men?
I don't know, because it's not
a
Marvel
book. Did he go back
book.
In time
no.
and like, get a bunch of Beasts?
And he's not wearing
now
pants.
Now there's Commandos. That would
no.
be awesome. Beast.
And then we also have the Boo-Nana Halloween Special one-shot.
Boo-Nana.
So I'm kind of happy that we're getting the Halloween Special the week before Halloween, because I love getting the Halloween stuff the week
in
after.
November.
Yeah.
Kind of like when the Simpsons Halloween special used to come on in November.
Does
it's like,
still do that?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay, we got Cowl trade paperback number one. That's the Kyle Higgins Chicago.
That's doing pretty good, huh?
One. It's doing okay, but that's one of the $9.99 trades coming out. Dark Gods, which I believe is Justin Jordan writing for Avatar. So that should be interesting. Death of Wolverine, Deadpool, and Captain America.
Well, wow, that sounds amazing.
Because that sounds like a fantastic book.
Wow.
All the
big names, too.
Yes, yes. Deadpool and Captain America. And
Wolverine.
But Wolverine's not going to be in it because he's
dead.
Deathlock. Deathlock number one. No, not Michael Collins. No, not Mike Peterson. It's Henry Hayes or something like that.
A new Deathlock.
A new Deathlock.
With a nose.
With a nose.
That's his special ability.
That is.
He can smell.
He had a nose
special
job.
We're finally getting the Edge of Spider-Verse reprint, so we're getting number two, the first appearance of Spider-Gwen.
Oh.
So, Harley Quinn Annual, so if you do want a cannabis-smelling comic book, now is your chance.
Oh, yeah.
That just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole
you're going to smoke the book.
Sure, why not?
And There might not be any for the shelf. We'll have to see. But the Howard the Duck omnibus is coming.
That, you were already supposed to order me one.
I know, and one's for me. So I'm only getting two. But if someone were to convince me to give mine up, I would be easily persuaded.
I want it.
Should they hand me $99.99.
I'll buy both.
Okay. That rocks. Too. I like that.
Just say you don't get one.
Yeah, that works. Oh.
Because you couldn't get your last one because somebody bought it.
That's right. Inhuman number 7. Woo! The excitement for that book is overwhelming.
That's still out?
Yeah. Justice League Dark Annual and Justice League United Annual. We're getting into the annuals because it's the fifth Wednesday.
Yeah.
Little Nemo 2 is coming out.
That's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. But that art was quite detailed.
Never mind. I'm thinking of Finding Nemo. I'm like,
no, not Finding Nemo. Not Finding Nemo. Phantom number 1. I think that's from Dynamite. New one with 18 covers. No, I'm sorry. Only 4 covers. New previews next week. Maybe we'll actually go over it this time. Although, next week we'll be talking about Constantine.
I wonder if does Phantom even have, a new strip anymore?
I don't think so.
That would be only it?
Yeah. Huh. Rasputin? I don't remember.
Yeah,
this is from Image. Interesting. Roche Limit, number 2. Number 1 was interesting. Sonic Boom, with the Here Come the Boom, 4 different interlocking variant covers.
Ooh. Yeah.
Here Come the
like
Boom.
Like X-Men?
No, like Sonic. Well, yeah, like that one. But yeah, no, this is Sonic, the new Sonic book.
Oh.
Southern Bastards number 5. I don't know if I can take this after number 4. That was brutal.
Can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
Number 5. Wow.
Swamp Thing Annual.
Huh.
And then Vertigo Quarterly Yellow. So it's kind of a lighter week. Just because it is the fifth Wednesday.
The last Swamp Thing was pretty good too with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
So that's what I got. So don't forget the party on Saturday. Come down with your horror stuff. Come dressed. Don't come dressed before 5, though, only because that's when the judging will be done. We have new judging criteria.
Yeah.
Instead of Adam deciding which costume had the most blue, that's how he decided who won last year.
There's no blue, I take the prize.
Yeah. That's what... What? So we have a different voting thing that I think it will be fairer than Adam.
That was my idea.
Yeah, but you were... So, we'll talk to you next week. See ya. Oh, wait, sorry, say it.
Oh, that's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what sound. Bobby Drips, the only ice that I rock with. The mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. That's how we do it.
catcher on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch a chain react. Cans ride, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo, please. Shots to your chest, you're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Wild when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all.